Hello, welcome to Spotlight, focused on the island's most creative souls.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it's that time of year again, the search is starting to find the island's next bard. We speak to two former bards to hear about the process and the role itself. Fresh from a leading role in the wonderful recent production of Calendar Girls at the Gaiety, we hear from director of the Arts Hub Youth Theatre, Danielle Brightson, as she brings the musical Spelling Bee to Ballycommeen Studio Theatre. And we hear about the next concert in the Ramsey Music Society Summer Series. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create or would really like to put in that spotlight. Be they poetic, theatrical, music, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital, all the others, drop me a line. Spotlight at manxradio.com is one option. Howard Kane, C-A-I-N-E, at manxradio.com is another option. Take your pick. They both come to me. I read them all, and it's nice to hear from you. We'd love to get you featured if we can. So it doesn't seem that long since we were welcoming Jordan Kenyuk into the studios as the 10th Manx Bard. But amazingly, the search is now on for her successor. Strangely enough, the 11th Manx Bard. We will hear from Jordan herself next week, by the way, about her year as it draws towards its end, what she's been up to and maybe what she's doing afterwards. But first, I invited two former bards, though once a bard, always a bard, of course, Michael Manning and Annie Kizik into the Spotlight studio to tell us more about the application process and share some thoughts on their own bardic experience. I began by asking Annie to tell us a little about the background to the founding of the Modern Manx Bard Project.
Okay, well, I wasn't there involved at the beginning in any way. In fact, I didn't know anything about it until 3 or 4 years after it had been running. But it's really the baby of Bridget Carter, the woman from Bala Beg, whose idea this all was. And she met a bard, apparently, on the travels away. Somebody was the bard of a town, I can't remember where it was. And Bridge thought, wouldn't it be great if there was something on the island where you could have the equivalent, but in our case, a sort of national bard, wouldn't it be great? And being somebody, when she got an idea, she'd always go for it. Bridge and a small team got together and inaugurate this competition, and it's been running ever since.
And when I'm trying to think, what bard were you, Michael? You were bard number...
I was number eight.
Number eight. And what? Just give us a bit about the experience then, because again, people hear of the Manx bard and probably will see in the papers or hear on the radio or maybe be at a function somewhere where they'll see the bard there in the robes. Tell us a little bit about the bardic experience from your perspective anyway.
I think it's a great mix of both sort of freedom and responsibility, really. And it was I'm sure for most of the bards, it's a great shock when you actually get selected as the bard. It certainly was for me. And you've got a year of a current tenure, and you're expected to put a proposal into the team before your selection about what you might want to do in that year, really just promoting poetry in the community. But then you're called upon to write for all sorts of civic occasions, for charitable anniversaries. People will get in touch with you and say, can you compose a poem for this? So as a poet, on a purely personal level, it's a wonderful stimulant to inspiration and to connecting with groups and people whom you might not have any connection with. And it's actually just a huge privilege. Just last week, I was down at an anniversary event for the sinking of the Mona's Queen III and the Dunkirk evacuations, and had been asked to write a poem for that. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to sort of poetically serve your community as well. And there's a great sense of responsibility and privilege with that, but a real joy in the power of words to speak into our current time and place. So it was a joy in my current year, and it's been a joy to continue to be involved in various bardic things.
So here we are then, starting the process again. It's always on a cyclical, yearly, annual basis. And as you said there, Michael, you've served 12 months, and then sort of three quarters of the way through, we start looking for the next bard to replace Jordan. And we'll speak to Jordan in a week or so's time to get a catch up on what she's been up to, of course, in her bardic year. But so talk us through the process then, Annie. People are listening to this and thinking, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a crack at putting in to be the bard. How do they go about it?
Okay, well, you've got to the 8th of August, which is the deadlines for entries. Now, when I say entries, Michael mentioned a proposal for what you would do with the year, but of course you also have to include some samples of your poetry. I must say that when I entered, I didn't actually have many samples of the poetry, but they went in, and I think that's sometimes the case for other people. We ask for up to 3 poems. Obviously, if you're trying to represent the things that you can do, 3 poems is a good idea, particularly if they can be of different sorts, I think, so we can see that you've got range and can write in different ways. We have some very comprehensive instructions or rules, competition rules, which you can get hold of by contacting the Manx Bard on Facebook. So if you are selected to be considered for the Bard, we would ask you then further to come along to a further audition or interview when we a small group, team Bard as we are, which is a few poets, a couple of people who read a lot, you know. We have a meet you and listen to your ideas and also listen to you read or recite a poem, and then the decision is not made absolutely immediately, but it is made pretty quickly after that, and it's based on 1, the quality of what you're writing, and we have a discussion on that between us. How you actually perform them, how you speak, and can you be heard? Very obvious things, really, but not always easy for people. And then the other thing to consider is how that person has presented themselves in terms of what they'll do over the next year, what they think they're going to do, because you don't know what's going to be asked of you. But you know, people usually have quite a few ideas up their sleeves, I think.
Again, I can imagine people listening in and thinking, well, do you have to be a published poet to be put to it, you know, or can you be someone who's never actually, you know, published anything or done any performance before?
I think it's very open, and we're very open to consider. I personally hadn't been involved really in the art scene on the island or publicly reciting any of my poetry prior to the Manx Bard, and that was partly why it was such a shock as well. But I think we're just there's a wonderful creative community on the island, and we work very closely with the arts bodies on the island, particularly the Arts Council, who sponsor the Manx Bard, and we're just really keen to hear from people. You may be well known within the community, please apply. You may have applied in the past and it hasn't quite been your turn, please apply again. You might have never thought of applying, but it's just you've got a couple of ideas for some poems and you want to put something in, please apply. We're just as broad as possible. It's lovely. All the bards are very different. They bring very different poetic styles, and they've brought different priorities of what they want to see in their poetry and poetry on the island. And that's really important as well, that we have a really mixed sort of bardic college, if you like. And so I'd really encourage anyone who's thinking about it to just go for it, set them down some words and send them to us. We love to read them.
And see what happens. So it is, as you say, there has, and just looking back, there's been a broad spectrum again of different styles, different sort of, I suppose, inspirations that the poets have brought to the role, what actually inspires them to write poetry in the first place, whether that's life or human nature or perhaps, you know, oppression or whatever the case may be. All of these are valid. The only thing that you need to be, just looking again at the notes, of course, is you need to be over 18, because otherwise, if you're under 18, there is the Manx Youth Bard, of course, which runs on a separate cycle altogether and a slightly separate time of year. And we've got a wonderful current Manx Youth Bard at the moment. So 18 plus, but otherwise, anything goes, as they say.
Yes, it would be an idea to reference the island in some capacity in one of your poems. I think you are there, as Michael said, representative of a community as well as yourself, and you are the Manx Bard, so definitely worth bearing that in mind.
Yes, so it's something, but you don't have to be, again, specifically just writing about the Isle of Man or writing about the Manx language or whatever.
No, that would be very boring.
what bard were you, Annie? Were you bard number
5?
Number 5, yeah. And what was it, again, we heard Michael sort of take on the role. What was your take on the role? Was it anything like you expected it to be, or was it sort of more, because you were already, I think, before that, you'd been well known for, again, working with choirs and Cairdean Cúirdhe, and I think you'd already been writing some poetry, maybe even published some poetry, I can't remember, but you were certainly, I think, known on the Manx scene in any case from a performance point of view.
Yes, not for poetry. I hadn't really written much poetry. I think I'd written about one a year, really, and never performed it, and never really sure whether there was an audience for spoken word in that way, though I'm quite like being on stage, that's a different thing. So it was, I didn't have an expectation. I just thought, I'll see what will happen, which is my usual attitude to life. And it happened very well, so to speak. And I must say, opportunities subsequently for bards have increased as more people have become aware of what can be offered. And I have to say, a lot of people have said how much they've appreciated bardic performances, written stuff in the papers over the years. And, you know, I don't know about you, Michael, but I've been stopped in the street occasionally and people have said, oh, we really like this or that. And I'm sure that's the case with the others. So it is nice to feel you are contributing something.
Wonderful. And was there a particular high spot or something you took away from your bardic year?
Oh, it was a long time ago. I don't know. That I must write, yes, and it was more a personal thing. Once you started writing and you find you can do it, you've got to keep going. So I have. I think I've written about, well, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of poems. They're not all any good, but I feel that's, you know, that is, I do feel like a poet now, which, you know, if you're a little fan
published as well.
Well, yes. But I think quite all the bards to some extent feel like that. Yep. So personally, it's a good thing for your development. And you're never too old, you know.
we can't finish without mentioning the robes as well, because, of course, anyone who's seen the bards perform will have seen the full length, I mean, wizard-like, I would say, wizard with words, bardic robes with a hat. So you get these as the bard. Do the bards keep the robes year on year, or are there new robes made for each new bard? Or
there's a current set of robes, which comes with the most spectacular hat and a great big staff as well, which is fantastic and really adds to the prestige and the sense of performance in the role as well. So that was always wonderful to wear those when we were out reciting things. But when you're no longer the current bard, you have your own set of robes that you get given as a bard emeritus, if you like.
Bard emeritus. So don't hang around if you fancy having a go becoming the next bard. There's plenty of time now, but it'll soon go. That deadline for initial applications, again, the 8th of August. The inauguration takes place on the 24th of August. And here for you, as a little bit of inspiration, perhaps, is Annie with one of her own splendid poems, Manx-based, of course, suitably timely, and performed with great aplomb, as always. Enjoy.
A donkey ate my hat. Generally, I'd say this about the TT. It's not for me. I suppose it doesn't help that when I was 2 or 3, I was taken to the surgery suffering from an attack of noise from roaring bikes in thick convoys tearing up the nervous roads. I suspect the doctor was madly annoyed but managed to politely avoid telling my mum the truth that I'd better get used to it and that he'd bones to mend. I feel it still, that looming tympani, that pulsating, growling fear, that screeching in the ear. Wah! Is it the bike or me? Well, speed's always been a bit alarming, apart from in a conversation when I probably outgab you all. I was raised on stop, look and listen, a big dose of caution and no harming, a watch you don't fall. Still, it's what we've been brought up with, and racers mean holidays and sitting in hedges or up on ledges, eating egg sandwiches and blocking your ears and closing your eyes when a bike goes by too close. Once, while watching at Hillbury, sat up against a wall, a donkey ate my hat. Well, I must have been looking at the race after all, as I didn't notice that at the time. But only later, when we had to go, and I stood up all sticky and sun-blotched, briar-scratched, dead legs slow. And you remember this, Jenny, Claire? There was a fight
between the donkey and my hair. A no surrender sort of donkey that would render me bald rather than let go. No, don't laugh. I'm being mauled. My poor hair, half straw hat entangled, broken, bitten, and the donkey munching firmly, slapping, spitting, and his hungry teeth close grazing by my skin, and the strained elastic going ping beneath my chin. Ow! With the chance of full retrieval, looking slim. To the donkey, half a crown. To me, the brim. Drama? Drama indeed. I watched a race while a donkey had a feed.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
If you were lucky enough to get tickets to the recent sold-out production of Calendar Girls the Musical at the Gaiety, you may recognise our next guest as she played the suitably musical Cora, the WI member who tickled the keys on the organ. Were Mrs. However, in real life, she has another name and another hat, and indeed another show. I'll let her introduce herself.
My name is Danielle Brideson. I'm the director of the Arts Hub Youth Theatre, and I'm here to talk about our first production of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Oh, I'm liking the sound of it. Before we get there, first, just tell us about the Arts Hub Youth Theatre.
So the Arts Hub, my company, the Arts Hub, started up 10 years ago, actually, but the Youth Theatre is a recent addition from September, and it features students of ages 14 right up to 20. And there are a bunch of students that I've been teaching through our academy classes on a Saturday who've come up through the ranks. Many of them will be familiar through lots of things they've been involved with at the Gaiety. Some of them are in the Calendar Girls with us, Howard, as well. They're great. They're a great bunch. And there's 16 of them. And it's our first punt at a really small scale musical, actually, something very different from what we usually do at the Arts Hub. And it's an eight-hander, so it's a dual cast. So it's 16 children rehearsing one 90-minute musical, dual cast, one rehearsal a week, as well as doing their GCSEs, AS levels and A2 levels, and every other show they get involved with. And we've only been doing it since February, plus the Guild in the middle of that as well.
No pressure then.
Yeah. No pressure at all.
Easy. So tell us a bit about Spelling Bee.
Spelling Bee is a fantastic musical. It has been performed on the island before many, many years ago. I couldn't tell you the year. Simon Lynch, Lily Ratnavall, Olivia Black, Libby Landles, as she's known now, were in the original cast, but it was an adult cast. So it's the first time it's been done on the island, I believe, with a youth cast. And the characters, the main six characters, are all children, so age appropriate. And it's about six very different individual children taking part in a very traditional American spelling bee. Hopefully most people will know what an American spelling bee is. And they all have their little quirks and qualms. And it's literally a musical that's full of ridiculous songs, comedy, that takes us on a little journey of the actual competition itself and shows us sort of the journey of these six children as they compete nicely, not so nicely, to win the trophy at the end.
Marvellous. And is it a full-on musical or a musical play?
I would say full-on musical.
Or play with music as a full-on
musical. Yeah, yeah. And we're kind of really paring it back. Usually it's done with a full band. We're doing it with piano, no microphones. They're going full sort of sparse set because they're quite the great kids. And I just want them to have the best kind of experience of owning what they do without too much technical intervention, really. But there's dancing, there's jazz hands, there are solo numbers, massive ensemble numbers, and quite a lot of funny dialogue, and also a lot of very tricky spelling. And some spontaneous improvisation thrown in there, but I can't say much more than that because it would give the game away, but the audience do need to be on their guard, is all I will say.
Wow. I'm intrigued already. And you say, so dual cast, so...
Dual cast, yeah. So with the 16 children we have one cast on the Friday, one cast on the Saturday. And then when they're not performing, these children are teching and running the show. So they're running the lights, they're working backstage. It's a real community theatre group. And that's kind of what I'm pushing with this youth theatre. So they own the whole process. Yeah. They sorted out their own costumes. They'll be doing the hair and makeup. And I'm there as facilitator, director and facilitator. And we've also got some really amazing friends helping us. David Kilgallen playing the piano for us.
Yeah,
I could play, but that would be just, they don't need Les Dawson playing this score for them. So I've shipped in the big guns with David Kilgallen's magic hands. So he's playing for us. And great bunch and well worth a watch. Come watch it twice, though, because each cast offers something very different.
Right, well, give us the details then. People thinking, yeah, you know what? I like the sound of that. What, where, when, how?
So we're on this Friday and Saturday, Friday the 13th. Unlucky for some, but very lucky for us.
Lucky for you, definitely.
Saturday the 14th of June, 7 p.m. at the Studio Theatre at Ballycomeen. Tickets for adults are £15, but a bargain for children at £5. I would say maybe the older children, because there's no choice language, but there are some adult humour and themes in there. And you can buy the tickets on the Studio Theatre website. We're half sold, I think, on Friday already, so they are going, but we'd love a full house for these kids, especially as it's their first outing as a youth theatre company. We've got big plans for the future, so this is our first sort of showing everyone what they're made of and what they can do, and hopefully we can go on to bigger and better things in the coming months and years.
Absolutely, and for those who haven't been to the Ballycomeen, that Studio Theatre, it is a cracking theatre, isn't it? It's a lovely, intimate space, a great place to watch plays.
And lots of the students have performed there as students. Some of them go to Ballycomeen. We use it a lot through the Arts Hub, and it's a safe space as well, so they can really kind of interact with the audience. They kind of get a sense of ownership as well. The theatre at Ballycomeen is great because they give us a hands-on approach. I don't think at the Gaiety they'd let our teenagers loose on the sound desk and lighting desks in the way that Ballycomeen do, and we really appreciate that because I think it's really important they get that full 360 look at how all the nooks and crannies are put together, you know. And so, you know, a great venue, which we really rate.
And do you get many, you think, again, there's a real, as you say, huge talent pool on the Isle of Man here now. More coming through all the time, it seems. And I'm always intrigued that virtually, you know, anyone you speak to have got kids growing up these days. They'll all go to theatre one way or another. Do you get many who sort of really get into it and think, yeah, I want to try and, you know, get into the business when I get older?
Absolutely. It's more than ever. I mean, I went to theatre school and I remember coming up through the ranks. I was a member of the Manx Operatic Society from the age of 13. I actually played for service play shows. I don't know if you'll remember The Boyfriend.
Yes,
with your dad.
Yeah, oh my Lord.
So I started off there in the pit with Ken Radcliffe and your dad playing for things like that. So, but there wasn't that many of us at that age, and we didn't have as many opportunities as the youth of today do. And it's great because they do grab it with both hands. And I think social media and the internet is a real presence now as well. They can see what they can achieve and where they can go with it, and they're hungry for it and they know what they want. Some of these students come to their lessons with me and they're very much like, this is what we want to sing, this is the type of song I want to go through next, can we do this? And I'm kind of keeping up with them in lessons. It's great because they challenge me as a teacher as well. And lots of them do go away and have had a great success, and they come back, don't they? Because you know, we've got Perry O'Day coming back to choreograph the Choral Union's Dark Guys and Dolls, and obviously they look up to people like Sam Barks and Matthew Overfield, you know, lots of people that I knew from school and from working in the theatre as well. So real life kind of ambition there for them all.
And I have to say, if the students performing are half as good as those who are in Calendar Girls, you'll be in for a treat. Tickets available, as Danielle said, on the Studio Theatre website, but they're going fast. Don't put it off or you could be disappointed. Beautiful sound of the brilliant Italian guitarist Carlo Fiorenz, And if you like that, then you've got a great chance to hear him live, as he's the latest artist to appear in the summer series of classical concerts organised by the Ramsey Music Society. We'll be chatting to the organisers of this series in a couple of weeks. But for now, I can tell you that Carlo began performing at an early age, as so many of these great artists do. He started to participate in both national and international competitions, obtained more than 10 first prizes, including the first prize at the International Guitar Competition in Rome, first prize in the International Competition Italian Festival, and at the Matinee Musicale in Indianapolis. In 2013, he won the Italian National Prize for the Arts, a prize awarded by the Ministry of Education to the best music student of the year. He's played in festivals in Italy, Spain, Austria, Germany, America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and in places such as the Kennedy Centre, the Academy Hall of the Baptist University in Hong Kong, Munetsugu Hall in Nagoya, Japan, Buenos Aires, in Brazil, in Armenia. He's been on TV, radio. I think you get the picture. He is very, very good. Look on YouTube as well. You'll find plenty of him playing there brilliantly. And you can go and see him live. Ramsey Music Society concert featuring Carlo Fiorenz is on Monday the 16th. That's next Monday, 7:30 p.m. at the Ramsey Grammar School West Building. Tickets are available at the door. Just £15. Cash only if you're going. And please do go. It's a wonderful night. I've been to one or two and they're brilliant. But you do need £15 real folding cash, a tenner and a fiver. Free entry, would you believe, for the under-18s. How good is that? Go along and support them. They do wonderful stuff. And we'll be talking to Olga, chair of the committee at the Ramsey Music Society, in a couple of weeks. That's about it for now. I'll be back next week when we'll be chatting to the recently retired Arts Development Manager at the Arts Council, Jane Corkle, about her role, the role of the council itself, and maybe what she's up to afterwards. See you then. Be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Himu.